Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. This show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit in every local and international listener. And today, we delve into the mind of an emerging influencer who is a community activist, loving father of two, and a pastor within an inner-city community where he consistently reaches out to offer guidance to troubled youth as well as to the needy in his church community of Anglerston. And in addition to all of his philanthropic efforts, he was also very passionate about being a loving husband and provider to his late wife, Donique Johnson Wallace, who unfortunately, suddenly passed away. Since then, this emerging influencer has been learning how to cope and to move beyond the grief and the loss, all while pastoring and being a father to his two lovely daughters. Today, I speak with emerging influencer Lance Wallace, pastor of Church of the Lord Jesus Temple, on the topic, practical and real-life principles on managing and overcoming loss. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786. ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk, opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., located next to Phoenix Supermarket on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices. Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is emerging influencer Lance Wallace, pastor of the Lord Jesus Temple, located in Anglerston, as we delve into the topic, practical and real life principles on managing and overcoming loss. And let me use the word loss today. We're speaking in terms of grief. Welcome to the show, Pastor Lance Wallace. How are you doing today?
Good evening, Lady Shima. I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great today, and I'm even better knowing that you're on here with me today because you've got a lot of practical life principles to share with our listeners today. So many persons are dealing with having to cope with and to manage and learning how to hopefully and potentially move beyond what comes with loss, the grief, the loss of a loved one, and especially when it is a sudden loss, right? And so that's going to be our area of focus for today, because you can definitely speak very passionately on this topic and experientially as well, because you've gone through the experience yourself. But before we really go to our focus for today, let's delve a little bit into your background and your brought up. See, you know, I like to give the listeners a little bit of an opportunity to get to know a bit of a background
of the influencer. Today, we're talking to an emerging influencer. You're really coming up and your name is getting out there and you're doing more in your community. So really a privilege and pleasure to have you with me here today. But the first question for today, you know, let's talk about those persons, those people, and at least one memorable experience during your teenage and early adult years, the persons who and the experiences that have influenced the emerging influencer that you have become today.
Wow. Well, good evening again, Lady Shima. Good evening, Radio Land. I've had so many people who were major players, you know, influential in my life and my upbringing, you know, who played such an intricate role, a pivotal role in me coming up being the influencer that you know today. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the number one person in all of that was my dad, the late Bishop Simeon Wallace. I really learned a lot from him. He is responsible for me being where I am today. You know, I've had so many people that I have learned from, so many people that I gleaned from, but I think of all of those, he is the number one person that I would learn so much from.
And that person is Pastor, the late Simeon Wallace.
Yes, Bishop Simeon Wallace.
And, go ahead.
I don't know how many of you out there would remember the singing group, The Elevations.
Yes.
So my dad was, my dad was one of those in The Elevations. He, along with his brother, Pastor Preston Wallace, who was the leader of the group. And if you remember The Elevations, My Lord is Riding and It Only Takes a Spark.
Come on.
Big songs back in the 70s,
Come
80s,
on.
You know, as we were coming up. But yeah, man, that he was the number one influence in my life, you know.
Yes,
my role model, my champion, my hero, my mentor, you know, my pastor, my dad, my friend. Bishop Simeon Wallace, the late, great Bishop Simeon Wallace.
Yes, you're taking me back to those gospel radio personality days, right? Talking about the great, The Elevations, right? And they're talking about the Redemption Gospel Singers, right?
Redemption Gospel Singers, yes.
Of course, you know, 1966, wonderful to have a friend like Jesus in your home, quite a staple here in the Bahamas still to this day. And when you hear the surname Wallace, and you know you're talking about a Bahamian Wallace, and even closer to home than that, you know you're talking about an Androsian Wallace, okay?
Yes.
You're definitely going to have to start talking about the greats of Bahamian gospel music. And your father, he was definitely one of them. Something about their voice, man. I mean, they open their mouths and something angelic and magical just comes out. That's incomparable, right? And your late father, Pastor Simeon Wallace, he definitely had that kind of a voice and that kind of influence upon you as well. Talk about at least two of the leadership skills that he would have passed on to you that you currently execute and utilize in your life in being the emerging influencer that you are today. Two key leadership skills that stand out to you.
Wow, two key leadership skills, from
Pastor Simeon, yes.
I would say what stood out was his sternness. He was very stern in what he believed. He was a man who lived by his conviction. If that was his belief, you couldn't get him to shake. You couldn't get him to budge. Only God could change his mind. And I think I got some of that from him. Yeah, he was very stern. People oftentimes say to me, you know, for a young fella, you are so firm in your belief, you know, and I got that from him. I got that from the late, great Bishop Simeon Wallace. I'll never forget him, man. I owe him, you know, so much.
Yes.
And it was so much of what I learned from him, not just in ministry, but, you know, in my everyday life.
And what's the second leadership skill you would say that he passed on to you, or principle of leadership that he passed on to you?
Dedication. I would say dedication. He was very dedicated to the call of God on his life. He was very dedicated to not only God, but the people of God. You know, he loved the things of God. And I watched him as a child growing up, you know. Sometimes I would almost feel like, man, daddy put in the church before us, eh? You know, and it's such a thin line sometimes, you know, when you have a love for God and the people of God, sometimes it appears as if, you know, you're putting the church first and your family is on the back burner. But we know the reality behind that is our families are our first ministry. But when you have a love for God, you know, sometimes the work of God consumes you so much, you know, and I'm experiencing it now in just my short time. Sometimes I just want to be you know, in the house of God, just doing things, just doing work, because the dedication, the love,
yes.
you know, when God said that I will give you pastors after my own heart, you know, mm-hmm. people who, you know, not who just come to fleece the flock, people who really mm-hmm. have the people's interests at heart, you know, dedicated to God and his work, his people, you know, feeding his sheep. And I find that those are two, you know, key principles I learned from him.
Okay,
you know,
so being
dedication,
stern,
and being firm and resolute, yes.
Yes, being firm and resolute, as well as dedication. Definitely two key leadership skills there that I also yes. still see in you to this day. But talking about, though, your call to ministry, let's get into that, because you experienced that at a very, very tender and very, very early age, I believe at the age of 8. How does one know that he has the call of ministry upon his life at the age of 8? What was your experience?
Yeah, so
what happened?
From a little boy, God would oftentimes I'd be laying down in my bed and God would just show me myself. You know, I would be wide awake, not dreaming, wide awake. And it's like God would just turn on the screen, turn on the TV, and let me see myself ministering to people. I'd be on different platforms. Sometimes I would see myself preaching. I would see myself laying hands on people. And I'm talking a little boy, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, wow.
And I started in ministry at the age of 8 when I began playing the drums. I started out playing the drums at my church.
Or you started out as a musician.
Right. I started out as a musician.
Okay.
And I think most pastor kids started as musicians. I think all of us started playing something or singing something. You want the praise team, you know, you're doing something. You're always involved. But yeah, I started out at age 8 playing the drums, man.
Yes.
I don't do it anymore. I don't know if I still can play.
I'm sure if you tried, you probably still can, right? And so,
well, this is like riding a bike. You never really forget.
You never really forget. That is so very true. But it's so it started with you having somewhat of an open vision. You literally seeing what it is that God had put aside for you to do in the future. And talking about that now, you are in real time executing what it is that you saw in these visions as a child through community
right.
outreach there in Angleton with your church, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ Temple. And of course, Angleton recently has been in the news quite a bit, but not just the community of Angleton, our inner city communities, as well as the whole, I mean, what's going on in the Bahamas, right? The capital as a whole, Nassau, on the island of East Providence, of course. And we see what seems to be a spate of crime. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit later on down in the show. But I want you right now to really give us some insight and to focus specifically on some of your church's outreach in the community and talk about the kind of positive turnaround and positive impact that you're having in the community of Angleton through your outreach.
Right. You know, Lady Shima, you touched on the crime situation in our country and our nation. I believe that, you know, and sometimes we talk about bad boys, you know, bad children, rude children. We you know, we call them dumb and all these other stuff. I don't believe that there is a such thing as a dumb child or a bad child. I believe that children learn differently. I believe that, you know, things stem from the home. Yeah. You know, some may learn, you know, they IQ, not all of us are the same, you know, in our IQ. Some children learn, you know, through their hands, if they can touch it, if they can feel it, maybe they can do computer repairs. Maybe they can draw, you know, they will turn out to be good carpenters and masons and all of these
stuff. More of the technical vocational kind.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just said to the members today in my message, you know, sometimes we have created this culture making children to feel as if they have to be a doctor or a lawyer or a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But mommy, what if I just want to be a seamstress? What if I want to sew clothes? You know,
That's
I can
right.
become the next big designer. You know, what if I want to play a trumpet? What if I want to play basketball? You know, you don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer. And we have to put that in them, let them know, hey, you want to be a plumber? I'm going to get you your tools. You're going to be the best plumber there was. You want to be a mason? I'm going to buy you your Brook Travel, your shovel. You understand? You want to be a carpenter? I'm going to buy you your stuff. And I'm going to push you. I'm going to encourage you to do what you feel in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, we talked about, you know, the level of crime. You know, I had an opportunity a few weeks back to sit with the boys at the, you know, the boys industrial school. Well, program sure, not the Simpson Pen, but program sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that, you know, when you talk to these young boys, you find that they're not bad boys, as we, you know, we've been led to believe. They're not bad boys. Sometimes they just need a little love, a little guidance, someone to show that they care about them, you know, and you'll be surprised after you done talk to them and show them a little love, and you'll be surprised to know what they'll become, you know, to be in our society. You mm-hmm. know, we're talking about the next leaders, the future leaders of our country, man. Possibly the person to cure all of these ailments, all of these diseases, you know, the next prime minister. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and so I don't believe, you know, I believe that we've come to a place now where we have this stigma about, you know, yesterday we had a program I was invited to on the Angleston Park, talking about working in the community mm-hmm. on the Angleston Park with the police association. I had not realized that they were rekindling, you know, reviving the urban renewal. And so they had 100 kids out there with the urban renewal band. Mm-hmm. And these kids wow. are from, you know, from primary school age. And they were mm-hmm. having so much fun playing their drums and their trombone, their tuba. The girls were dancing and, you know, the flagettes, doing the stuff with the flag. Mm-hmm. And to see the police in the community, you know, church and state working together. To yes. see the church was there, the minister for the area was there, the police was there playing basketball with the kids. That did my heart good. And I want to be a part of initiatives like that, you mm-hmm. know, involved with our youth. All is not lost, man. We have a lot of positive things going on, but mm-hmm. people don't know about it. And as I said earlier, we need to accentuate the positives, play down yes. the negative, shed more true. Light on the positive, because a lot of positive things are going on.
Accentuate the positives. And I believe that it's yes. been redubbed the urban renewal revolutionized, I've been informed.
Yes, and revolutionized, so, that's it.
Yes. And so I'm very, very happy to hear this, because we need more programs just like yes. urban renewal revolutionized, because we tend to always focus on the bad instead of really focusing mm-hmm. on and accentuating what is good and positive that's going on in our communities. Yes. And I'm so very, very glad that, of course, the church continues to play its role in helping mm-hmm. to do exactly that. You know, because a lot of times the yes. church tends to get a lot of flack, right? It tends to get a lot yeah. of flack. But I believe that it was the president of the Bahamas Christian Council, who some about a mm-hmm. year or so ago, when I had him on as a guest, he was saying, Lady Shima, if you were to remove the impact and the work of the church out of the Bahamas, yes. you wouldn't mm-hmm. want to see the Bahamas today. He said people exactly. need to stop yeah, being so negative in their outlook and their words about yes. the church, and to continue to commend and support the work of the church. And of course, you're going to have those few bad apples here or there. We must be honest yeah. and say that there are some leaders, okay, of churches.
Definitely.
They're not doing things according to the precepts and the principles of the Word of God. They're doing things their own way. But by mm-hmm. and large, though, we have quite a number of churches. I mean, on almost every street, right, there is a church. And thank God, because on almost every street, there is a bar, there is a this, there is a that, right? So we need yes. to have yes. the positive impact that's there. You know, there are quite a number of programs and initiatives that have been launched with the aim and the mission of helping to offer guidance and developmental life skills mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. our young men. Yet lately as a nation, particularly here in the nation's capital, Nassau, we've been faced with a spate of crime, mainly homicides, mm-hmm. like we were talking about just a second ago. Police officials in the local news saying some of these homicides have been related to gang and drugs activity. The murder count, yes. unfortunately, just now in the month of March, right? Already 30 for the year per this
30,
recording.
Yes.
Per this recording in late March. And the latest with yes. a man and a woman being taken to hospital, unfortunately, after a shooting incident off or nearby mm-hmm. Market Street, right? And we're talking right, about what's right. going on with our young men. I want to hear from your mind. I want to hear from your spiritual creativity. What would you say we need to see more of in order to circumvent or to move away from this kind of trend that we're seeing as it relates to crime, which more yes. than not is being led or done or executed by the hand, so sad, of our young men? I know that there are many initiatives and programs that are ongoing now, but what are your thoughts and ideas as to how we can continue to streamline what it is that we offer to steer them in a better path?
Okay, yes. I believe that, you know, there's a saying that says, idle mind is the devil's workshop, and the devil will find work for idle hands to do. When we give young people something to do, we give them something positive to do. They realize that, hey, I don't have to pick up a gun. I don't have to rob somebody. I don't have to break open someone's house because I have something positive to do. If we would create more avenues, you know, to give them something positive to do, to keep them off the streets, you know, we would have less of this crime, you know, less criminal activity. Because I've found that even in, you know, in the community where my church is, I find that sometimes young guys come there, wherever I need one, $2. And I would say, you know what, I can give you more than $2, but I can let you work for it. Clean the car, I can give you 20. Or come trim the hedges, I might give you 130. And so what it creates now, they feel now that, hey, I have a, it gives them a sense of self-worth. That's it gives them a sense of pride and dignity, because it's not a handout now. I work for this. Yeah, I work for this. And so I go on and clean the car. And then when they see you pull off and the car clean, they feel good. They feel pride because that's what I did. That's my work.
Yeah.
And when they get a sense of pride and dignity and self-worth, they wouldn't have a reason to go pick up the gun.
Exactly.
I got to beg for $2 or rob for $2 because I go on and we can get 20.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
You're talking about developing and cultivating a work ethic.
Yes. That's it. Work ethic. Make it feel a good sense, you know. Self-estimation
value.
Is a serious thing.
That's
when you have a good, self-value, self-worth, pride and dignity about oneself.
That's right.
The other day I was doing some work at the church. I was painting and I was just going to do it myself. And then I had another brother from the church was coming to help me the next day. But what happened? Some young boys from through the corner, they came and they, you know, Rabbi, I want $3, I want $5. They say, hey, y'all come right in time. I'm doing some work. Come, I can give you all way more than $3 or $5. Come help me work. And so they're in there, I know they already know. Yeah. So you gotta, he that winneth souls is wise. You got to know how to be skillful. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Dealing with millennials. These people come from broken homes, man. They ain't no bad boys. They want to change. They want to do good. They don't want to be. I spoke to a police officer yesterday. I said, you think these guys want to be gunned down in the road or want to be locked up? They don't want that. But they need to be shown that it's a better way. It's another way. But if that's all they know, and we don't ever give them a chance because of the stereotype, because of how they look, and we don't ever give them a chance, who can give it to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I create an atmosphere there where they feel comfortable around me and they can come to me and talk about things rather than they building it up and keeping it up. And then you listen, they go rob or they commit suicide.
Exactly.
Or they go and do something. They just need someone to talk to, you know,
someone to nurture them.
Yeah. Why you think boys join gangs? They're looking for love. They're looking for family structure. Daddy ain't home. And when daddy home, it's like he ain't home. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what we need to create, even in the church, working along with the young men. Let them know, yeah, man, you worried more than just picking up a gun. You worried more than just going to jail, being in and out. You worried more than just having your punch. You understand? Drop down on your hip. No, man. Some self-worth, some pride, some dignity about yourself. And I use that opportunity. I know we're in church now, so they're going to watch how they, you know, what they say and watch their behavior. So while I inviting them to church. And I showing them some love and I getting down to their level and know what they're thinking now. But Rev, all right, Rev, cool. All them church people in the same. I think I can go to church next week Sunday.
That's good.
You understand?
Good. You're talking
God will
about
use them and transform
right there,
them. Yes.
The relatability, that is so very, very important, because sometimes, you know, we're doing all of this work and we're working so hard in the community and we're wondering why it's not necessarily being effective. But are you relatable? Can you actually relate to the target audience, the persons that you reach out to? Are they understanding your message? Are they seeing your heart? Or do they think that you're just out to fleece and to try to get something? What's your intent?
Exactly.
Why are you really reaching out to me, right?
Yeah.
So that relatability factor right there, it is so very important. What's the language that you're using, right? In trying to reach out to them. They've got to definitely understand and feel you. That is so very unnecessary and important. And I'm glad to hear you speak in these terms. And I'm glad to hear more about the work that you're doing in the community of Angleston, because so many times we hear about these inner city communities and we just hear about crime and we just hear about violence. But yet
at the same time,
there is a lot of good, positive work that's going on in these same communities. And it's just that they need more now of a platform to really get this good news and positive message out there that, hey, man, there's some good going on. And why don't you come alongside us and help us to carry out and to execute the good work that we are doing in these inner city communities, right? Instead of having all of this to say. Exactly, right? It's important for us to talk about it, to dialogue, all right?
Yes.
To talk about the social issues. But of course, at the same time, let's come up with solutions. And then once we come up with these solutions, we also need to do what? We need to empower people to be able to execute these initiatives in these bands. Because it's one thing to have it on paper, and it's another thing to be empowered by way of financial and finances and human resources to be able to execute it and carry it out, right?
You know something, Shema, you said something very powerful. You talk about, you're not just seeing the problem, but coming up with a solution. I was speaking with one of the inspectors yesterday while we were on the park, and the children were, you know, doing their thing, you know, with the band and all of that, right? And one of the solutions, what we came up with, we talked about, you know, the graffiti, how they're, you know, these abandoned buildings, and they're just writing up on them and even doing on people's houses or cars. So what we talked about, a solution there, why don't we get a park, make it, you know, just a national park where children can go, have just all white there, right? And they can go there, and just how we talk about the graffiti, they can go there and draw and do their doodles and, you know, whatever. If that's their outlet, let them do that.
Exactly.
And they're out there robbing, killing. They're picking up a gun. They go there and they spray paint. They do their graffiti. I told them about, look at celebrity artist Jamal Roll.
That's right.
He was an R&B, they said, man, you're scribbling and thinking you're supposed to be listening to the teacher. But look where that scribbling got him.
Exactly.
Look where that got him. Celebrity artists work with all the, you understand, around the world.
And your own namesake, Alan Wallace, right?
Exactly. Al Pacino is so good.
Yeah, that's right. World renowned.
And see, that's why we say all children, you know, they're not going to learn the same. They're good with their hands. They're no doctor and lawyer. They're good with their hands and they're doing things, you know, and man, listen, their work is nothing short of excellence. Nothing short of excellence.
It's so good to hear you say, you know, because we need to have these alternative expressions, right? What is that they're carrying on the inside, right? Because they're going to express it. And a lot of times what they're using to express it is crime. What they're using to express it is violence. But if we have these positive alternatives, then maybe we would see it being expressed differently. Maybe we would see it being expressed through visual arts or craft or music. But are they being empowered to do this, right?
Exactly.
And so that's,
exactly.
You know, that's a whole another conversation for another time.
Which
I am very passionate about, as you can hear. But let's just talk about this other social element here, right? Before we go into talking about your story, because we're going to use the rest of the show to focus on that, because that's our focus for today. And that's practical principles on how to really cope and manage with grief or with loss. And we're going to get into your personal story in just a bit. But I want to talk a little bit, just for a few seconds, about the gender-based crime. I was listening to some statistics on the news the other day saying that over 90% of gender-based crime is at the hands of our men. Unfortunately, it is the reality being reflected by statistics, right? Just recently, the sad sick story of a six-year-old being raped by her father. Mother, heavenly, you know, the murder suicide situation, being shot by her partner and then, you know, turning the weapon on himself and then later succumbing to his injuries. And I can go on and on, unfortunately, right? What kind of background and mindset really feeds into this kind of character being developed, you know, on the inside of a young man? And I'm not wanting to, you know, of course, we're talking about gender-based crime here, and I'm going according to the stats, right? I'm not demonizing them. We're just discussing statistical truth, all right, or facts, I should say.
Right.
What creates that? What causes that? What are you seeing,
you know,
in the community when you talk to these young men?
You know, Shema, I think it stems from the home, their upbringing. the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. I grew up in a home where that culture was created. Family life is very important. You were there with your children. You teach them about life, not just buy them Sega Genesis and Jordans and Clarks, because they need more than that. Teach them about life. Teach them how to relate to people, how to live with people, how when you go into society. See, we like to blame the kids, but it stems from the home. It stems from the home. The child ain't born bad. The child ain't born bad. He ain't come out with a gun or come out
good
with
point.
A knife. You understand what I'm saying? And so we as parents, we have to take some of the blame. What are we doing? My parents were very strict on me, and I came up in that. And I don't believe that, I'm not saying that because they were very strict on me, because you can have some people, some children, boy, they just got a mind of their own and they're going to do what they want to do anyhow. But they did their part. They did their part. They instilled the principles, the values, morals of life. And so it was natural for me to carry it out, because they didn't just tell me, they showed me. They showed me, you know. And you would have sometimes parents would send the children to church, and the children probably ain't even gone to church. But they didn't just send me to church. They took me to church. They took me to Sunday school. I had to be there. And so that was instilled in me. That was embedded in me. That's imprinted. That's there, you know. And so I grew up with it. The formative years between 2 and 5, that child is learning so much. And they're watching so much. And I have a baby who is 6 months old, almost 7 months. In a few days, she'll be 7 months. And listen, she is so smart. Sometimes she does things, and I am amazed. But that shows me that she's watching. I have a nephew who's 5 years old, and I listen to the things that he say. Sometimes he repeats things that I preach weeks ago. He repeats it. You understand? So
he's remembering.
Watching. Yeah, he's processing that. That's going in. You know, the children are watching. What are we doing? Are we setting good examples? They ain't just born and pick up a gun. You know, we have to create this culture. We have to create this mindset. We have to create the type of environment that is conducive for the child to grow up in the way that they should, man. Let them see us living right. We ain't just telling them, but they seeing it. We showing them. And so that'll carry them throughout life. Even if they start acting crazy, they remember, boy, what mommy say, what daddy say, and that'll help guide them through life. When you see boys go out there and go into gangs, that's because they're looking for family, they're looking for love, they're looking for protection, because they've not been getting it in the home.
Good word right there. It stems from the home. That is so very true, because the home, the family, will always be the basic unit of any society. And we can't run away from that truth. We can't run away from that fact, right? And so if you're listening in, you're tuned into Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. And I'm speaking with emerging influencer today, Pastor Lance Wallace. He is the pastor of the Lord Jesus Temple located in Anglesen. And we were just talking about some of his outreach initiatives and efforts there in that inner city, doing some great work. And we are discussing the topic, practical and real life principles on managing and overcoming loss and managing and overcoming grief. He has a human interest story to share that is definitely going to help you. It is going to help you in ways that you would not believe. You've got to stay tuned to hear in more about what it is that he's gone through and what he is yet overcoming. Thank you.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Things, located right next to Sawyer Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Things at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarket on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is emerging influencer, Pastor Lance Wallace. He is pastor of Church of the Lord Jesus Temple, located in Anglesey. And today we are delving into the topic, practical and real life principles on managing and overcoming loss. Now, Pastor Wallace, anyone who knows you, even if only for 5 minutes, they would know that, listen, you are a man who's still, I believe, very deeply in love with a woman by the name of Donique Marissa Johnson Wallace. Unfortunately, yes, yes. She is no longer here. That was a life-changing story.
Yes.
Take us into it. Take us into it. Let's start with just a little bit of your dating and your marriage, so for people to understand the kind of impact this had upon you. And then let's get into the loss.
Well, Donnie, can I good afternoon, everybody. Again, I am Pastor Wallace. Good afternoon, Lady Shima. Where do I start? Donique and I had an awesome relationship. Awesome, awesome relationship. I always tell people, you know, everyone's relationship is different. But if there was such a thing as a perfect marriage, a perfect relationship, it would be us. You know, we really had a good thing going. God has really blessed us with something beautiful. You know, Donique and I were together for just shy of 13 years. Wow. And yeah, we spent a lot of time together. The thing is, Donique never used to keep company. And so anytime you see her, you see me. When you see me, you see her. I was her friend. You know, she was not just my wife, man. She was my, you know, back in the day, they used to say my ride or die, my Buddha bye. My yes. A1 from day one. Yeah, she was my Buddha bye. You know, she was my ace, man. And I truly loved her and still do. You know, I said to someone the other day, I said, I loved her in life and I even love her in death, you know, and I will never, ever forget her. Mm-hmm. I will never, ever forget her. Donnie came into my life and sort of refined me, man, because people who knew me before knew I was out there. You know, mm-hmm. I was out there. I was them said who thought you couldn't have one woman and be satisfied.
Oh,
and Donnie came and she brought satisfaction. She brought peace. She refined me. She brought a certain grace. And yeah, she really helped me to mature. You know, I will never forget her, Shima. Mm-hmm. I will never forget her. We had a beautiful thing going, man.
Yes, beautiful about thing. 13 years, you said. That's inclusive of the marriage or...
So we were married for 5 years. So prior to that, we were dating. Yeah. We were married for 5 years. We had just celebrated our fifth anniversary in November. And then, as you know, in December, she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that has left me, mm-hmm. man, as you can imagine, that really did something to me. You know, it just knocked the wind out of my sail. You know, it really,
share a bit
really
about
caught me.
That day, mm-hmm. though, because you shared about it on social media, and whenever I listen to the live or the video, it really causes me to have just chill bumps all over. I'm serious, because you were very graphic in expressing and explaining and giving a picture on exactly what you experienced that day in the front of the store. Tell us a bit about it.
You know, different people grieve differently. Mm-hmm. And I think telling my story is helping me so much, and not just helping me, but helping so many other people. This mm-hmm. is a part of ministry. This is a part of what I do. Mm-hmm. And one prayer I pray to God is, I want my life to glorify you in every way, even if it causes me pain, if it causes me disappointment, causes me to cry, causes me heartache, as long as you're getting glory out of it, out of my life, I just want my life to glorify you. And so every time someone asks me to come and speak, as you can imagine, the speaking engagements have gone through the roof since then, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. everyone wants to hear the story. And sometimes I have to cry when I'm telling the story. Sometimes I'm preaching and crying, you know, mm-hmm. but I will tell my story because it's helping people to heal. So mm-hmm. many people have suffered loss, you yes. know, and everybody, like I say, grieves differently, but it's mm-hmm. helping people to heal. People are calling from London, from Africa, from Jamaica, saying how the story has blessed them. Wow. You know, how it's helping them to, you know, be strengthened and sustained and cause them to want a closer walk with God, mm-hmm. you know, because man, if God can keep him in that, then I got to trust this God even more, because this God really is, you know, the lifter of your head. He really is your comforter. He really is your strength. If he can keep him like that, the way he loved his wife and watched that happen to her like exactly. that, die in his arms. Yeah. yeah. So that's a ministry within itself. And so I just ask God for strength, you know, to help me to just live a life that would draw people to him, mm-hmm. draw people to him. And that's my aim. That's my object. That's my goal.
You said that she died in your arms, and what a picture, right? Even just hearing those words, it automatically creates a mental picture. What happened in the few hours leading up to that moment?
You know, Shema, that day, everything was, I remember it like yesterday. It was Wednesday. Everything was beautiful all day. She would work on her laptop from home, you know, and she was working all day. She put in the full 8 hours. She got off that day at 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. and we went out on the road. She said she wanted some Subway, you know, and we were just riding and talking, and you know, her, Shekinah, and I, the baby's name is Shekinah. Mm-hmm. And Shekinah was 4 months at the time. She's 4 months at the time. And we stopped because we were just riding and talking and laughing and, you know, making plans going into the new year, because this is December 29th. Mm-hmm. This is December 29th last year. And so we are making plans, you know, about what we're going to do for the new year, you know, and talking about what we want to do in the ministry, you know, because a few days prior to that, she and I just sat in the sanctuary. There wasn't any service going on. We just like to spend time at church. She just loved. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I loved her for. She loved God. I mm-hmm. met her in love with God. You know, this wasn't that's just so a thing she put on for I'm mm-hmm. the pastor's wife or I am. No, she was in love with God when I met her, mm-hmm. you know, and that drew me to her. And so sometimes we just sit in the sanctuary and just, you know, make plans and talk about things we want to do, the work we want to do for God, for the ministry, you know, when we were just sitting down talking. And so that day we were, you know, just planning things and saying what we want to do. And so I said to her, I say, let's stop to, because Shekinah is 4 months at the time. And I say, let's just stop to CrossRite and get the walker, you know, for Shekinah. Mm-hmm. And she walked, she went in the CrossRite, got the walker. And I stayed in the car to feed Shekinah. And when she came out, because the only thing she got was the walker. So when she came out a few minutes later, I had just finished feeding Shekinah. So I see you right in time. I say, you could just break her. Let's head home. And we just ran on riding, laughing, talking. And I say, you know what? Let's just stop the Super Value and get you some fruits. Let me get you some fruits before we go home. So I pulled out of course, right? And I went right over Blue Hill and stopped to, you know, Super Value then Golden Gates. Mm-hmm. And I say, anything else you want? She said, no, just let's get the fruits and let's go home. And I met her. I left her in the car laughing and talking, you know, and as I was leaving the car, I kissed Shekinah. I say, coming right back, baby. And wow. So Donnie just smiled and she said, now make sure don't bring me no bruise or banana. You know, I want some apples, some orange and what's not. You know, we were just laughing and talking, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and I went in the food store and I got the fruits. The only thing I got was the fruits. So I didn't go on the long line. I just stood to the drug counter and got the fruits and came right out. When I came out, now keep in mind, I only got the fruit, so I only was in the food store 5 minutes or less. And I left her laughing and talking. And to come back, meet her, I met her. I thought she was sleeping, Shema, because wow. as I'm approaching the car, she's mm. laid out on the seat, you know. So my first thought was, Donnie, do I sleep quick as that? So what I said to her, I noticed that Shekinah, as I look in the car, I noticed that Shekinah was on the floor, but she was on her head in between the two seats. Now, keep in mind, now this is my four-month-old baby. Oh, I met her on her head. Mm. And so I said, Donnie, you dropped sleep and have Shekinah on the floor. And as I sat in the car, because I was still standing outside the car, As I sat in the car and I hear she didn't respond, I looked in the back and I noticed her body was twitching and she was foaming at the mouth.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, Donique having a seizure? My wife never had a seizure in her life. I'm like, Donique having a seizure? So I quickly jump in the back seat. I pick up Shekinah first to make sure she was okay. And I put her in the, you know, in the carrier, in the car seat. And I'm in the back with Donique. I jump in the back seat like, Donique having a seizure? So I quickly shouted to the security. I said, hey, call the ambulance, you know? And I was just holding open her mouth, you know, so she didn't bite her tongue or anything. I was just holding open her mouth. And I'm like, where this come from? Donnie, you don't have seizure, you know? And I'm talking to her. I noticed that her fist was clenched so tightly and she had a tear rolling down her cheek. Now I'm like, is this tear because she's in pain or is this tear because, hey, Lance in the shop, kind of on the ground. I don't know what can happen that I can't even pick her up, you know? So I'm telling her, I'm reassuring her that, hey, Shekinah is okay. I got Shekinah. She good. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. She all right. You just stay with me. And I'm saying all of this stuff. You just stay with me. And Shema, within a minute or so, I watch my wife, her body just stop. You know, she just stopped moving. And I watch her take her last breath. I watch her fist because her fist was clenched. I watch her hand open up. And I'm like, Donnie, you gone? You know, I'm talking to her just like this. Donnie, you gone?
My God.
I say, you really gone? You serious? And I'm shouting to them again, hey, hurry up, call the ambulance. And by that time, man, the parking lot is full. A lot of folks around. I'm like, Donnie, man, you ain't gone. And I just tap her on her cheek. You serious? You gone? And I'm checking her pulse. You know, I put my finger under her nose. See if she's breathing. Check her stomach. Right. She's not moving. So I'm saying to God in my mind, man, listen, Donnie ain't gone like this. And I watch her take a last breath. So I knew, you're like, I watch her face till everything changed. I watched like the spirit left her body. And so I'm saying to God, man, listen, you bring back Lazarus after 4 days. Do something for Donnie. That's only a couple of minutes. I'm desperate now. I couldn't gather my thoughts to pray or anything. I'm just saying, God, do something. Just do something. You use a miracle waking God. Do something. You know, do something. Because I was saying to God, listen, you know the struggles we had before Shekinah came. You know the back-to-back miscarriages. Now you let Shekinah come and you take Donnie like that in 4 months. Do something. I need you now, Jesus.
Wow.
I'm desperate now. You know, and so the ambulance came, and when the ambulance, you know, when they check out, the guy knew that she was gone. He checked out and he knew she was gone. He looked at me, looked at the other attendee, and he knew she was gone, but, you know, he saw the young baby, and he's like, man, I really want to do something. I want to help you because you got a young baby, bro. You know, they don't carry no dead body. But he looking at you kind of like, yeah, you got a young baby, man. Let's try to do something. So he said, let's throw him in the ambulance. And I'm being so graphic and so real because this story is helping people know that hey, even in your darkest hour, as graphic as it can get, as bad as it can get, the worst of the worst, God is still with you. And so we put her in the ambulance. And as we were taking her out of the backseat of my car, I felt the weight shift. I felt the dead weight.
My God.
So I knew she was gone. And I'm lifting her out like, Lord, you got to do something, man. You got to do something. You know, I felt the dead weight. So we put her in the ambulance. The guy is telling me what to do. You know, he's giving her chest compressions and I'm squeezing the oxygen in the bag and having it over her mouth. And I'm trying to gather my thoughts to pray. And I'm just keep calling her Donnie. I'm talking to her, talking to God, you know. And the guy, the look on his face is like, boy, this woman gone. But I just want to help this boy so bad because he got a little baby, you know. And I'm saying, man, God, I trust you. Bring her back. I just need her back, you know. But it was not to be. God had other plans, you know.
Yeah, he had other plans. And it's amazing the way that you are accepting the will and the plan of God, because I have watched you journey through this whole ordeal and process, and you've been using the story and you've been using your testimony to help others who are going through grief and loss at this time. A 5-month-old. And how old is Danae?
So Danae is 15. She'll be 16 in November.
Okay. So, I mean, let's start there. Practical and real life principles on managing and overcoming loss. How are you as a father dealing with two daughters? What's that principle? What is the practical way of managing and coping with this every day? What would you say? Point number one.
You know, I have a good support system, Shima.
So point number one is a good support system.
a very good support system. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother, Donique's mother, my sisters, her sister, they that's Shekinah's their baby. They love Shekinah. You know, that's their baby. And mm-hmm. so I have a very good support system, especially they, you know, them knowing that I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a problem with having to, you know, keep up by myself, or, you know, it's like the miss is not even there per se, because mm-hmm. she has so many mothers right now.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
And so I have a very good support system. My concern is more Donnie, because Donnie is 15. She knows what's going on. She knows what's happening. Shekinah mm-hmm. will only see pictures of her mother later. She doesn't understand what's going on.
Right.
You
right.
know, mm-hmm. she doesn't understand what's going on. She'll see pictures later, and I'll explain to her later. You know, who your mother was and how she was loved and how she was such a sweet person. She would get that later, you know, but for now there's no miss. It's like her mother is still there, because the motherly love that she's getting from my mother, Donique's mother, my sisters and Donique's sister, you know, and even others, you know. Mm-hmm. So my concern is Donnie. I try to stay as close with her and talk with her as much as possible. Okay. And I'm so glad that she is doing classes, you know, even if it's Zoom, or when they do the face-to-face, because it's something to keep her mind occupied.
Yes.
You know, and she's dealing with it very well, thank God. Mm-hmm. Thank God, you know. Mm-hmm. And God is faithful, man. He's strengthening us day by day.
Would you call that principle or coping mechanism number two, and that is keeping your mind occupied? Because that's what I gleaned from what you said just now about Donnie.
It's very important to keep busy. Don't just stay there whining and crying all day. Of course, the miss is there. If anybody know me, yes. if anybody know me and know, man, they know I love my wife to pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't no disputing that. I love my wife. I tell people I love every inch of that woman's body. That's me. You yes. understand what I'm saying? I love her to pieces. And uh-huh. you know that, Shima, from us
yes,
talking and from what you see. Yeah, you know how I feel about Donnie. But yeah, you got to keep busy. Mm-hmm. And so I busy myself in the things of God. I keep writing. I keep, when I don't have a speaking engagement, I'm spending time with Shekinah, because mm-hmm. I'm pastoring full time now. I'm not on a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. but I'm always busy doing something around the church. I have a lot of people calling on me to speak, you know, other places. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always yes. busy. I keep mm-hmm. myself busy, so I don't just sit there thinking. Mm-hmm. You know,
how do you deal with those moments, I am sure, when the grief just becomes overwhelming, where it, you know, it comes in waves? What do you do in those moments? How do you manage that?
Listen, sometimes it comes out of nowhere, Shima. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like now we can be just talking and it just hit me. Mm-hmm. Last week, my family and I were, you know, celebrating with my brother for his birthday. And so we were at dinner and we were sitting down laughing and talking. And out of nowhere, I just pictured Donnie there, because she would always be there with us.
Wow.
She would never miss. You understand what I'm saying? She yes. would always be there. And mm-hmm. it hit me like, hey, we out to dinner and Donnie ain't even here. Last year for his birthday, Donnie was there when we was to dinner, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I said to someone, I said, boy, the family trips really ain't going to be the same, because, you know, daddy gone for us. You know, and now Donnie is gone. I said, the family trips ain't gonna ever be the same, you know. Mm-hmm. But I keep myself busy. I keep myself busy. Now, dealing with the grief, and like you say, it comes in waves. Shima, mm-hmm. I could be driving and I'd have to pull on the side of the road, washed away in tears. I can be sleeping and I just wake up and roll over and stretch my arm out and remember, like, hey, she ain't even in the bed no more. You know, it just hits you from out of nowhere. I was sitting in the office the other day, my office at church, and I just looked at her picture, because I'm a family man. So I have pictures in there with my wife, with Donnie,
yes, yes,
with Shekinah, all around my office are pictures. I'm a family man. Mm-hmm. And so I look at the picture with Donnie, and it's like I could smell her. I could hear her.
Wow.
When I looked at the picture, and that I was preparing for a meeting, and I broke right down, Shima. Mm-hmm. You know, so it just comes out of nowhere sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, out of nowhere. And I look at Shekinah sometime. You know, God is something else. When Shekinah was first born, everybody was saying she looked like me. And it's like her features change now and she looked like Donnie.
Right.
I say, God really leave me something. You understand?
Yes.
Really left. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So every time I look at her, and I probably kissed her about 100 times a day.
Yes.
Every so time I see her, I say, girl, you look like your mommy.
Yeah. So even in dealing with this loss, you still have a legacy of Donnie, so yes. to speak, through your daughter, yes. Shekinah. And yes. So he never puts more in us than we can bear. And Definitely. as we wrap up the show right now, I wish we had more time because I know that you've definitely got more work. But what would be number four, a practical real life example on coping and managing with grief and loss? I'm thinking maybe something spiritual in your walk with God, a higher power, having that connection. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Definitely relying totally on God. Mm-hmm. Relying totally on God. You know, my prayer was always, God, I want a closer walk with you. Mm-hmm. I spoke earlier about, you know, I touched on, you know, with my dad. Mm-hmm. It's been almost 2 years that my dad has passed, but the bond that we had, it feels like it just happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And wow. So many nights I would cry because it was mm-hmm. still fresh. Many mm-hmm. nights I would cry and don't be there to help me to deal with that, cope with that. Yes. And now she's gone. She mm-hmm. was my friend. She was the one, my pillow partner. You know, she was the one that I would talk to, you know, because, man, hey, that's my sidekick. That's my sidekick. It wasn't just my wife. She was my friend, you know, my confidant. We talk about so many things. Mm-hmm. And so I would say totally relying on God now, because Donique was there to help me with that, with the loss of dad. But who was there now to help me with her? Mm-hmm. And so I really had to just rely on God's strength mm-hmm. because it feel like, boy, I had nobody else because I didn't talk and share my feelings with no one else like I did with her. And mm-hmm. so now I don't have no one to do that with. Mm-hmm. You understand? And so I have to totally rely on God because Donique's loss did something to me. I said, I'd knocked the wind out of my sails, Shima. Mm-hmm. that left me open. You know, it did something. Wow. To me.
And I'm so glad, you know, the word says, you know, lo, I am with you always.
Always.
Even unto the end of the age, and he's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. And that's going to bring us to the end of our show for today here on Influencers. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you, Pastor Lance Wallace, for allowing us to be audience to such an intimate part of your life. And you're doing this by way of testimony in order to help others who are dealing with and having to grapple with learning how to cope and to manage, you know, the loss and grief, especially of those close loved ones. And so thank you so very much for allowing us in today. So those principles that you shared with us, and that is to have a good support group, number one. Number two, to keep your mind occupied, to try to stay busy. And also number three, there are times when you're just going to have to allow the grief to take its course. You're going to have to allow the tears to flow. And then point number four, when all else fails, of course, we always have the ultimate power, God, to rely upon. Such wonderful, powerful principles that you've left with us today. And so until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.